You ready to hear the word? Man, I feel just such a lightness in here. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what?
Freedom.
Freedom. Hallelujah. There is freedom in the house. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 8. The Holy Spirit gave me a very specific word for today. Hallelujah. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's filled with powerful wisdom and revelation that I think is going to be a blessing to your life. Well, I know it will be because it's from the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's not from James. It's from the Holy Ghost. Now, here we go. Luke 11, 5 through 8. Are you there? All right. Here we go. And he, Jesus, said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend? And go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed.'" Oh, those inconvenient times. Isn't that seem like when the Holy Ghost knocks on your heart, those inconvenient times? "I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet," underline it, "because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." Today I want to talk about 2 things that are not only needed in the life of a Christian, but they are an absolute requirement if you're going to fulfill the will of God in your life. How many want to fulfill the will of God in your life? You need these things. This is not optional. In fact, these 2 characteristics are so important that if you don't have these 2 things, you're going to be stunted in your walk with the Lord. You're going to be stunted in your growth. You're going to be in a backslidden, a backslidden comfort zone mode. Say comfort zone. You know, the comfort zone is really good and comfortable, but nothing grows there.
Amen.
Nothing grows there, and we need to be in growth on a consistent basis. Amen? You will never grow spiritually without these 2 characteristics being active in your life. In fact, you will not even receive breakthrough in your life if these things aren't active. Here we go. Those 2 things are this: boldness and persistence. Boldness, say it with me, say boldness. And persistence. Now, there is a common thread that links both of these character traits together that's not talked about very much, but I'm going to save that toward the end. We'll get to that common thread later. But let's start off by talking a little bit about boldness to give us a deeper understanding of it and how to apply it of our life. I mean, we can talk about boldness all day long, but if you don't really have a deep understanding of it, you're not going to walk in it. There's preaching and there's teaching. Preaching's declaring something, teaching's explaining something. I like to have explanation. Amen? I don't know about you. I want to know some things, some deeper things about it. Amen? So we'll talk about persistence after this, down the road. But boldness is defined as this: a willingness to take risk and act innovatively. Boldness is defined as a willingness to take risk and act innovatively. It also has a confidence and a courage attached to it, okay? Now, remember, what is courage? I talked about this a couple messages down the road. Courage is simply this. It means to do something in the face of fear. It doesn't mean being absent of fear. Oh, no, you're probably going to feel the fear. You're going to feel that resistance. You're going to feel it, but courage says, you know what? I'm doing it anyways. It's like a soldier going in on the front lines to battle. If you don't think that they experience fear, you're sorely mistaken. But they have the courage, say courage, to move forward in that battle. Amen? Fear, like I said, it may be trying to influence you and all these other negative influences, but it doesn't stop them from moving forward. Listen to this. The Greek definition, the Greek word that's translated boldness, the definition of that also implies, in a biblical sense, it implies speaking the truth of God without fear, listen, of the responses from people. Speaking the word, speaking the truth of God without allowing the responses of people to stop you. Amen? In fact, God told one prophet, he said, hey, don't even, when you're preaching what I'm giving you to tell, don't even look in their eyes. Yeah, Jeremiah, don't even look at their faces, right? So if you notice a minister doing this and looking above, that's what we're doing. There was this minister, we went to his church in the past, and he would always, when he would speak something hard, it was always like this, looking above. It's like, hello, I'm right here. Don't look at the faces. Say, don't look at the faces. So boldness is so powerful and focus-driven. Say, focus-driven. That it doesn't give in to the fear of man or any other negative influence. It's not concerned about fitting in. It's not concerned about being seeker-sensitive. It's truth-sensitive, come on, and truth-driven. Amen? Amen? That's true boldness. True boldness in a spiritual sense means that you are willing to act and speak on the behalf of God without fear of the consequences from other people. Am I kind of driving this home good enough where you understand this? It is determined. It values, come on, it values truth and justice. It has no partiality mixed in with it. Amen? Boldness, listen to this. Oh, this is good. Boldness plus wisdom is powerful, profitable, and effective for the kingdom of God. Let me say it again. Boldness plus wisdom, godly wisdom, is powerful, profitable, and effective for the kingdom of God. But boldness without wisdom is destructive to people and the kingdom of God. See, you can have a boldness that's not a godly boldness. Hello, somebody. Yeah. Amen. But when it's connected to the word, when it's connected to the Holy Ghost, when it's connected to righteousness, there's a blessing attached to it, and it's going to be effective. Amen? Amen? So don't ever forget this. Godly boldness always stays within the boundaries of love. Godly, if someone's being bold, but they're walking outside of the love of God, guess what it is? Their flesh. Right? I mean, they might have a point, they might be speaking some truth, but it's always within the boundary of love. It's say, I got to stay in love. So go with me to 1 Timothy 5. Do I have your attention yet? I think I do. 1 Timothy chapter 5, boldness and persistence. 1 Timothy 5, 20 through 22. Let me show you an instance here that requires godly boldness. Look at this. 1 Timothy 5, 20 through 22. And it says, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, a young pastor. Those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest may also fear or reverence the Lord. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things, underline it, without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep that yourself pure. Someone's getting freaked out saying, oh, who's he about to expose? Don't worry, I'm not exposing anybody. But listen, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, told Timothy, a young pastor, to take a bold stand and to rebuke people who refuse to repent of their evil ways within a congregation. He told Timothy to do these things without prejudice and without partiality, right? The purpose of doing that is to obviously to protect the flock and to warn those ones who are sinning so they'll repent, right? So there's say with me, there's love behind it. Do you think the people who he had to expose, do you think they enjoyed that? But there was still love attached to it. Hello, somebody. Amen. Amen? It was also meant to do this, to teach everyone to fear the Lord. And the purpose of doing that is not hatred, but it's out of love and protection for the people, right? Now, how many of you know, can you agree with me that it takes a very high level of boldness as a leader to do that? Amen? Say boldness. It needs to be done because that poison, a little leaven, leavens the whole lump. Come on, amen? It needs to be done because that poison will negatively influence others in the church. And so here's what Paul is telling Timothy. He's saying this. Here it goes. Make it a teachable moment. Make it a teachable moment for the people, right? Say teachable moment. We got to start appreciating teachable moments, amen? So it takes, listen to this. If you want to be a leader in the body of Christ, all right, it takes a holy boldness and a very strong commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God to be a leader in the body of Christ. Do you agree with that? All right. So, but again, it has to be motivated by a genuine love and concern for the people. If you're just doing it just to be a jerk, it's not going to work. In fact, it's going to backfire. Amen? Here we go. Boldness. I'm moving on, so say, oh, good, he's moving on. Come on, listen to this. Boldness fears, respects, and honors God more than fearing man. All right? Boldness outside of the will of God is foolishness and rude. Let me say that one more time. Boldness outside of obedience to the will of God, the word of God, it's going to be foolishness and it's going to be rude. Amen? But when it's within the boundaries of the word of God and the will of God, it is wisdom in action. See, that's what you're looking for. Wisdom in action that's going to benefit people. Amen? And it's a safety net. It's a safety net for your life and for others around you. Because when it's all said and done, you want to be standing. This is what you need to do. Are you ready for this? When everything's all said and done, you need to look back and say, I am standing on God's side and not man's side. Amen? Not on man's fleshly side, not on the side of the multitude. I'm pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. Now go with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts 4, 13 through 14. Now, I brought this passage up in the past, but the Holy Spirit kind of gave me some new insight. So I'm going to bring it up again. How's that sound? Hallelujah. Acts 4, 13 through 14. So, no, I'm not losing my marbles. I know I've talked about this in the past. We're going deeper. Say, we're going deeper in this thing. Amen? Here it goes right now. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could not say anything against it. So I want you to notice here that the people that were arresting Peter and John, they literally could see, they could observe the boldness on Peter and John. Did you catch that? It was noticeable. Oh, I have boldness. See, I got boldness. No, it should be observable. There's evidence to your boldness, amen? Their boldness, listen to me, their boldness was so strong inwardly in their heart that it manifested outwardly in their actions and in their spoken words, okay? So the people arresting them, it said they perceived that Peter and John were uneducated and untrained men. Meaning this, that there must have been something about Peter and John that looked and acted and talked, come on, unpolished. Right? I mean, how else would they think that? There was something unpolished, right? Kind of like a Smith Wigglesworth, right? He was kind of unpolished, but he walked in the power and boldness of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Peter, so you could say it this way. Peter and John did not fit the mold, that high-class mold of the religious people. But the anointing and the boldness that was upon and within them was undeniable. It couldn't be hid. I mean, it was there. Amen. So the religious people, I love it. They marveled and they were amazed and they started to realize, oh, I love this. They started to realize a light went off on the inside of them. And they said, you know what? They've been hanging around Jesus. That's why they're acting like this. Amen. The anointing makes people, when the anointing's flowing, it makes people stop and marvel at what God's doing through people. Amen? This reveals to us then, listen, if these religious people perceived, wow, hold on, they've been hanging out with Jesus. Listen to me. This reveals to us then that Peter and John were paying attention to Jesus and his teachings. Oh, come on, somebody. And they were truly being a disciple of Jesus, a learner of Jesus, a student of Jesus, and of his powerful words. And that ignited something on the inside of them. Amen. Are you following me? Yeah. I like that. I like that. Peter and John were paying attention to Jesus' teachings. Yeah. Think about that, right? They were paying so close attention that it affected them, not in the flesh level, but in the heart level. Come on, somebody. Now, here we go. Now, Judas, on the other hand, he had some major issues going on in his heart that literally hindered him from being truly impacted by the time that he spent with Jesus. Are you seeing the difference? Peter and John, it was noticeable. Even the dead religious people could say, they've been hanging out with Jesus. Amen? But Judas had some heart-level problems. There's a difference here. Listen to this. This is what I want to throw at you this morning on this topic. It was the same Jesus. It was the same teachings that Peter and John, Judas, they were all sitting by the same Jesus. Come on, somebody. They were all hearing the same teachings of Jesus. They were all sitting around the campfire singing the same songs. Same praise and worship. Amen? One turned out pretty good. Not so much the other one. Really think about this. How can several people go to the same church, hear the same, I'm not just talking here, I'm talking about the body of Christ in general. How can they go to the same church, hear the same messages, be in the same atmosphere of worship, and yet some are impacted by it and changed by it, and some are not. Right? See, here's what the Holy Spirit showed me. He said there are some issues and faults within the heart of a person. I'm not talking about right here. I'm talking about your spirit, man, in your soul. Amen? Your soul, really. The soul's the shifting point. Your spirit man's born again. But there are issues and faults within the heart of a person, and they're not dealing with those issues. And here's what happens. It literally blocks the anointing. Here's what it does. You ready? Let's go deeper. It blocks revelation. It blocks the positive influence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Listen to this. It's an issue that needs to be corrected at the heart level. And this is what the Holy Spirit, this is literally the words the Holy Spirit gave me. He said, their spiritual receiver is broken. Their spiritual receiver is broken. Right? I mean, we've all seen it. I mean, people who, you know, always brag about being in the Word, loud praise and worship music. They're hearing the Word. They're watching it all the time. But they still act like a devil. Are you following me, somebody? Yes. You understand what I'm saying? It's got to impact your heart. Right. So here's what we got to do. We always have to maintain a heart that is willing to receive from the Holy Spirit. Always maintain a heart that is willing to receive correction and be teachable. If you're not teachable, you're wasting your time in church. Right? Then you might as well just be home in your fat pants watching Gilligan's Island reruns. Perhaps Brady Bunch. Right? Come on now. Why are we here? You got to ask yourself, why are we here, right? If you're not going to allow it to impact you, what are we doing? Listen to me. Here's the truth. I can tell if someone has been spending time in the Word of God. I can tell if someone's been spending time in prayer by a Christian's level, listen to me, of boldness to stand up for Jesus and the written Word of God. If the high level of boldness revealed to those religious people that Peter and John were clearly spending quality time with Jesus and being positively influenced by him, then certainly we can tell today by a person's actions and words if they're lacking quality time. Come on, with the Holy Spirit. Well, you mean spending time with Jesus? No, with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is in heaven. Amen? Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to help us. Amen? The Holy Spirit's the helper. The Holy Spirit's the one walking alongside of us. He's the one living inside of us. So it's a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So, not only did Peter and John possess boldness from spending quality time with Jesus, but they also prayed for boldness as well. Go with me to Acts 4:29. Let me show you something here. Acts 4:29 through 31, just a couple of verses. So they received a boldness just by rubbing shoulders, hanging around with, spending quality time, being teachable from Jesus. Is that right? But then Acts 4:29 through 31 is really going to blow your mind because they prayed for boldness. You know what that is? That's a supernatural anointing of boldness. I'll show you. Look at this. How many of you want that supernatural kicked into overdrive boldness? Amen? Look at this, Acts 4:29 through 31. My goodness. It says, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." Wait a minute, I thought they had boldness. No, there's another level. Say there's another level. Here's where they prayed. "That your servants that with all boldness may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God, underline it, with boldness. This is a whole new level of boldness that releases the supernatural power of God in your life. Someone can possess boldness apart from the Holy Spirit. But I want you to understand something very important here. They prayed for that boldness. So this means if they prayed for boldness, guess what we can do? We can do the same thing and pray for boldness. If you've never prayed for boldness, you need to add that right now to your prayer list daily. Amen? There is a spiritual boldness that is directly connected to the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the supernatural power of God. Now, I want you to notice that they prayed for boldness for this: to speak the word of God, follow me, to speak the word of God, to stretch out his hand to heal, and that signs and wonders would be done in the name of Jesus, right? Oh, this is good. Listen to this. I want you to notice that all of those things that they prayed for, which began with boldness, right? They're praying for boldness. Operates, all of the things they prayed for is manifested through the actions and words of a Christian. Now, I think I kind of lost you, so hold on, all right? Listen to this. In other words, none of those things will happen unless a Christian, you can pray for boldness all day long, but none of those things will happen unless a Christian acts on that boldness by speaking the word of God, by healing or laying hands on the sick and watching them recover and speaking words of healing to them, making the commands of healing, right? And signs and wonders. All of those things happen through a Christian. The Holy Spirit uses the Christian. Are you following me? We're supposed to be doing the works of Jesus, are we not? So here's what happened. They prayed for boldness to act and speak. And when they would act and speak, when they would do their part, God did his part. Are you following me? So you can pray for boldness all day long, but unless you're putting legs to your prayers, you're not going to have a manifestation of that supernatural. Come on, somebody. Don't pray for it if you're not willing to act on it. Don't pray for it unless you're willing to act on it and get results. Amen? Here's what it is. It's a teaming up with God. It's a teaming up with the Holy Ghost. It's what the Bible calls a co-laboring together with God. Amen? So in other words, if you pray for boldness and don't act on it, nothing supernatural will ever happen. Again, put legs to your prayers and act on the boldness. Amen? Are you following me? Y'all with me? Clear as mud? We good? So here's what you got to understand. Here we go. Are you ready for this? Don't misinterpret God's part and your part. Know your part, know God's part. Ready? Here we go. Boldness is for you, not God. Boldness is for you and I, not God. Amen? It's boldness to speak. It's boldness to act without fear, and then supernatural things will begin to happen. Amen? The stories of Smith Wigglesworth, raising the dead. I mean, this guy, I mean, he was led by the Holy Ghost, so don't go doing this. He would go into funerals, and the Holy Ghost would tell him to get the body out of the casket, put it against the wall, and ram that thing like he's ramming a guy in football. And he did it, and the person came to life. Now, what if Smith Wigglesworth was praying for supernatural, for the dead to be raised, and he never obeyed the Holy Ghost? Nothing would have ever happened. That's why you're praying for it. Put some legs to it. Amen? Go ahead. Jesus is counting on you and I to be his hands and feet on this earth. And when we do, we'll get the Jesus kind of results. Come on, let me say that again. Jesus is counting on us as his body. He's the head. We're his body on this earth. Jesus is counting on us to be his hands and feet on this earth and his voice, right? And when we do that, we will get Jesus kind of results. How many of you want Jesus kind of results? Then start doing what Jesus did. Amen? So just know, here's what you got to know then. It is scriptural to pray for a boldness. But then you need to act on it, or else you're wasting your time, and it's unprofitable for you, and it's unprofitable for the kingdom of God. Amen? So it works both ways. Spending time in the Word of God and prayer, and not spending time in the Word of God and prayer, both will influence your actions and your level of boldness on this earth. Amen? If you're, come on, how many of you know this? Just by your own life. The more you spend time in the Word, the more you spend time praying in the Spirit, praying in English, the more you spend praising the Lord. How many of you know your boldness level is up? Then when you stop doing it, why does it say be filled with the Holy Spirit? To stay filled, because we leak. You got to stay filled. And it's got to keep coming in. Just think of it as a tire with a little hole in it. Isn't that annoying? It's a tire with a little hole in it. And so instead of just changing the tire, you keep putting air in it. Then you check it again. It's like, oh, it's low again. Put some air in it. That's you and I. We're that tire. Just think of yourself. You're nothing more, nothing less than an annoying tire with a hole in it. a pin-sized hole, and we leak. You got to keep it up. You got to keep putting some air in there. I think that's a pretty good example, if I do say so. I've never had that before. We're tires. Don't you love how the Holy Ghost just takes something in the natural to give a spiritual connection with it? Amen? Now, where did I leave off? Okay, here we go. So, both have a cost. Obedience is profitable, and disobedience is unprofitable for you and the kingdom of God. Amen? All right, so here we go. Spending time in the Word of God in prayer will impact your level of boldness, not only outwardly ministry-wise and in the public sense, but it will also impact your boldness in your relationship with God. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. So don't now I'm shifting your mindset. Now, because now we kind of just focused on the boldness and connecting in connection to ministering to people, you know, miracles, signs, and wonders. Now the boldness takes another step. It takes a turn to now your level of boldness affects your personal relationship with God. Look at this. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. And it says this: seeing then that we have a great high priest, Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are. Here's the key, underline it, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, underline it, boldly, come boldly. Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Now, so we as Christians, it says that we must come to the throne of grace, come to God with his unmerited favor upon our life. It says the only way to come to him where we're going to get results is with boldness. Now, let's break that down a little bit so you can apply it to your life, right? What's the point of me saying something if you're not going to know how to apply it, right? Here we go. The reason that we can come boldly to the throne of grace is because Jesus, our high priest, has said he was tempted in all points and he overcame sin. Amen? So remember I talked about, was it last week or the week before, that we have Jesus. When you put your faith in Christ, we have the righteousness of Jesus. The sinless life he lived, that is transferred to us, right? You remember me talking about that? All right, so here's the deal. So we have Jesus' righteousness. If you are focused on your own ability, your own faults, your own weaknesses, of course, that is going to kill every bit of boldness and cause shame and unworthiness on the inside of you. Amen? How many of you know that? How many of you can say, man, there was a time when you sinned, you messed up, and you were focused on what you did, and you came to God, and you were just, I mean, you didn't even know if he was hearing you. You felt like dirt. Amen. Am I talking to anyone today? Don't raise your hand. But your focus on yourself caused you to shrink back. It made your boldness toward your relationship with God go down, right? So the Word of God is telling us in this passage that we can have boldness because we aren't focused on our own failures and faults, but rather we are focused on Jesus and the work he has done, and he has given us, come on, the gift of righteousness. I'm telling you right now, the gift of righteousness, his righteousness, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus that he has given us is so important. If you don't have an understanding of it, it will affect your level of boldness, not only in personal ministry, but in your relationship with the Lord. So here's what you need to do. Say he's got some practical stuff. Thank you. Here we go. So here's what you need to do. Number one, if you want that boldness in your relationship with God back, you lost it. Shift your focus on Jesus and get it off of yourself. That's the number one thing you need to start doing right now. Focus on what Jesus did for you. Now, there's a place where it says, yeah, if you sin, confess and forsake your sin, obviously, right? I'm not taking that away. But I'm saying in this verse, the very reason that we can have boldness in our walk with God is because we're focused on what Jesus did, not what you did. Come on, somebody. I want you to notice it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Now, this is, a lot of this, it's talking about prayer there. Amen. How many of you know when you come to God in prayer, you're looking for some help? Amen. And it's talking about prayer and making things right with your Heavenly Father in your life by focusing on Jesus. Whatever you did, put it under the blood. Amen. Be open. Be honest. Be vulnerable with Him. So, listen. So, the opposite of this verse is true as well. Sometimes, as you know, if you heard me teach, sometimes it's interesting to take a verse and look at the flip side or the opposite of it. That really drives home a point. Let's do that with this one. If we don't come boldly to the throne of grace, we will not obtain or receive mercy, and we will not find grace to help in our time of need if we don't come boldly to Him. Isn't that interesting? So you need to come boldly to Him. Run to Him, right? You mess up, you run to Him, and God, I messed up. But thank God for what Jesus did for me. His blood is covering me. Amen? So your prayer life, your answer to prayers, the effectiveness of your prayers are even dependent, listen to me, are even dependent upon you and I operating in boldness in your Christian life and relationship with God privately. Boldness can manifest publicly, but it also needs to be made manifest privately in your walk with God. Amen? Boldness and faith are very powerful spiritual twins. Say boldness and faith. Now we're going to shift gears here, and I want to talk about persistence. Say persistence. I think I gave you a pretty good picture of boldness, right? It affects our personal walk with the Lord, and it affects our ministry for the Lord. Amen? Now, persistence is defined as this. I love it. Now, pay attention. Persistence is defined as a firm or an obstinate continuance in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. Let me say it again. Persistence is defined as a firm and obstinate. I lost you right there. Don't worry, I'm going to define that one next. A firm and obstinate continuance in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. Now, what does the word obstinate mean? Because I believe this whole thing with persistence rides on what does obstinate mean. Here it goes. Obstinate is defined as this. Oh, I love it. Stubbornly refusing to change one's opinion or chosen course of action. Here we go. Despite attempts to persuade one to do so. You're not giving in to the peer pressure. You're not giving in to the negative influence. Amen? Amen. Say stubborn. Stubborn. See, we need to be stubborn with the Word of God. Amen. We need to be stubborn. When God tells us to do something in His Word, when the Holy Ghost shows you to do something, we need to be obstinate. We need to be stubborn. We need to stubbornly refuse to change our opinion. Stubbornly refuse to change our course of action on that thing. And it doesn't matter what people are trying to persuade us otherwise. Isn't that good? It is the ability, the willingness, and the mindset to stick with something regardless. Here it is. Regardless of resistance. Oh, I love that. Or you could even add this word. I like adding this to it. You're doing something regardless of the resistance, or you could say it this way, or the consequences of doing it. Right? Peter and John, they weren't stopping when they were being threatened. They weren't stop healing in the name of Jesus when they were being threatened. Why? They were obstinate. They're stubbornly saying, no, I'm going to fulfill the will of God. I don't care what man says. I'm going to obey God rather than man. Amen. See, when man tells you to do something against God's word, come on, somebody, you choose God over man. Amen? Amen? So listen to this. The Greek word that's translated persistence implies this. The quality of being, oh, I like this. Come on. The quality of being unashamed to pursue something. There is a, you could say it this way, there's a shamelessness attached to it. There's no shame. Amen? There's no shame. The woman with the issue of blood who needed a healing, she pressed through the crowd. Jesus, Jesus, she pressed through the crowd unashamedly. She probably looked like a fool to people. They probably think, what's this lady doing? But there was a shamelessness attached to it. Come on, somebody. There was a persistence to push through the crowd. Amen? And guess what? Those people can laugh at her all she wants, but she received her healing. Come on, somebody. There needs to be a persistence. I'm convinced that many Christians have stopped short of their breakthrough because they weren't persistent. They were obstinate. They gave in to the negative influences. Amen? Man, I feel an anointing flowing up here this morning. Persistence, you could say this, it must be a way of life for the Christian. Because, listen to me, we're living on a hell-bent earth. Have you guys realized that? We're living on a hell-bent earth. So we're constantly, if we want to live holy, we want to do right, we want to obey God, there's going to be constantly a resistance. Come on, somebody. There's constantly going to be a resistance to that. And, you know, I heard a saying before that says this, that rivers are created because the water is taking the road of less resistance. Listen. Crooked rivers are formed because they take the way of less resistance. Think about it. So that's what a Christian does. When they start giving in to the pressures of the world, what happens? Oh, here's what happens. Seeker-sensitive churches are formed. Amen. They take the way of less resistance. What happens? They have strippers at conferences. Are you following me? They're taking the less. We don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers. We want to take the way of less resistance. Hello, somebody. Don't do it. Push through it. Be obstinate. Amen? Be tough. Have boldness. Have persistence. So, in fact, boldness and persistence are very much connected to your faith in general and to your commitment level with the Lord. Amen? Now let's look at another passage here. I got some good stuff here for you. We ain't done yet. Go with me to Luke 11. But wait, there's more. Luke 11. Luke 11, 5 through 8. It's what I started with, but I want to reread it. Luke 11, 5 through 8. This is a word for us today. If we're going to fulfill, if in your personal life, as a church body, we need boldness and we need persistence. Amen? Amen. Or else we're wasting our time. Right. We're wasting our time on this earth, and we don't want to waste our time, right? Right? Listen to this. Luke 11, 5 through 8, once again here. He said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise to give him because he is a friend, yet because of his, underline it, persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now, because of the persistence of that person in this, they got what they wanted. You see that? Did I read that right? All right, I'm on track. Because of the persistence, they got what they wanted. All right, I want to show you something very important that you might not see, that you maybe never perceived in this passage before. This is not necessarily talking about receiving something in prayer in this passage. Let me say it again. This is not necessarily talking about receiving something in prayer in this passage. How many of you know, when you ever read this passage, you always connected it to prayer? Right? I know I did in the past. This passage is showing us a very important kingdom key that can apply at times to prayer. But in general, it's revealing a kingdom key that we as Christians need to possess in every area of our spiritual walk. So I want you right now just to tune out. Okay, that's not necessarily talking about prayer in that. Here's why. Why does Pastor James say that? Why am I putting that fire out in you that that's not talking about prayer? You want to know why? I'll tell you why. If you only apply this passage to prayer, then here's what you'll get out of it. You ready for this? You will get a mindset of this, that you have to beg God for answered prayer. And that's not correct, my friend. Are you following me? If you only connected that passage to prayer, I guarantee you, you're acting like now I have to beg God for answers. We are not to go in to prayer with the mindset of begging God, because begging God, listen to me real close, begging God is nothing more than you admitting that you don't know the will of God on something. And so all that does when you beg God, it's a manifestation, listen to me, of doubt and unbelief in your life. Now listen to this. So the book of James tells us this in connection to prayer. He said, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. We will not receive anything from God, listen to me, if you're not asking in faith. And if we're not asking for something according to the will of God. Why? Where else can I get that from? Let me give you a little more evidence. 1 John 5:14 and 15. It says that we literally can have confidence that our prayers are answered. Confidence that we're receiving from God. How? If for two reasons. We know that we're praying the will of God. And number two, we know that he's hearing us. If you're begging God, you're not believing that he's hearing you. And you don't know that something you're praying for is the will of God or not. Are you following me? Can you see how if you only connect this passage to prayer, that's the kind of fruit that it's going to form in your life. And it's an unscriptural belief. So here we go. So faith begins. You got to understand this. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So if you don't know something either by the written word of God, if you don't know something by the Holy Ghost bearing witness on the inside, then you know what kind of prayer it is? It's a if it be your will, God, prayer. And that's not the kind of prayer that you receive from God. That's a prayer that you receive direction for your life that you don't know if it's the will of God or not. Are you following me? Well, I think I'm supposed to sell my house. I don't know. Well, I guess I can't find it in the written word of God. Are you following me? So that's where you would say, God, if it's your will for me to sell my house, if it's your will for this or that, Lord, reveal it to me. Holy Spirit, open doors. Are you following me? There's a difference. But even at that, there's no begging God, ever. Are you following me? Does your children have to beg you to give them needful things? If they do, I'm calling CPS. Are you following me? So faith produces a confidence and a stability in your life. Are you following me? Let me say it again. If you really have faith, it's going to produce a confidence and a stability emotionally on the inside of you. Okay? So instead of begging God, Instead of begging God, if you're praying to God about something, express reasons why you are praying for a specific thing. Give evidence from his word that you're standing on. Again, but you're not begging him for it. The confession in speaking his word is more for you than it is God. Are you following me? Because you're trying to build up your faith. You're letting the enemy know what you're believing. You're tearing down strongholds spiritually. Are you following me? All right, so again, we are not begging God for what he has already promised in his word. We don't have to beg God for what he already promised. He promised it. Done deal. Jesus said, it is finished. Right? The only thing that we're going to have an issue with are personal situations in our own life that we don't necessarily know exactly what to do. That's why you got to get into the Word. Apply godly wisdom and principles. You got to pray. The Holy Spirit will give you ideas. He'll open up doors that, and you'll have an awareness of, oh, this door is opening. So, wow, he might want me to go through that. You'll feel the unction of the Holy Ghost. Are you following me? Yeah. Now, when you start to beg God when you lack knowledge of his will, it's producing doubt and unbelief. Amen. And in that position, in a position of doubt or unbelief, we won't receive from God. James tells us that. In fact, it goes on to say, don't waver in your faith. In fact, it says this: if someone's wavering in their faith, the Lord's telling us this, I'll even give you the authority to say, to tell that person, you're not going to receive that thing you're praying for. It literally says that, right? Tell that person, they're not going to receive anything from the Lord. So faith, to receive from God, there must be faith. Say faith. So in light of the biblical truth that I just laid out for you, Luke 11, 5 through 8 is not talking about begging God in prayer. If you are believing that, if you believe that's what it means, you are missing the whole point, the main point, the big picture of what Jesus is trying to reveal to us. So the key to what Jesus is revealing to us in that passage, how many of you want to know that? Thank you, you two. Now listen, here we go. Listen. The key to what Jesus is revealing to us there is further explained in verses 9 through 13 below that passage. Go there with me. Verse 9 through 13 of Luke 11. And it says, Jesus said, now remember, so I read that, right? Now he goes on. So I say to you, ask and it shall be given, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Doesn't sound like we really have to beg God there, does it? And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Sounds like a sure thing to me if you're doing this. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead? Obviously, it's implying, duh, no. That's a James Brandt translation. Or, verse 12, or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, underline this phrase, how much more? Say how much more. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So right after Jesus is talking about persistence, Jesus starts talking about asking, seeking, and knocking. So there is something deeper then within persistence, boldness, asking, seeking, and knocking. Amen? There is something that all of those things have in common. There's a common thread on the inside of all those things. Are you ready for this? Jesus is revealing a spiritual law for every Christian. Are you ready for this? Here's what it is. Jesus is revealing the importance of having and maintaining desire in your life as a Christian. Say desire. Think about it. It is impossible to be bold. It is impossible to be persistent. It's impossible to ask. It's impossible to seek. It's impossible to knock without having a burning desire in your heart, a burning desire in your soul to do those things. Because if that desire's not there, you're not going to do it. You're not going to persist. You're not going to be bold. Are you following me? Jesus is trying to get across the importance of desire in the life of a Christian. Jesus is telling us, if your desire is so red hot in your soul, in your heart, for more in your walk with God, to receive from the Holy Spirit, so hot that it motivates you to act and speak. He's saying this, nothing will be held back from you. Nothing will be impossible to receive or overcome in your life. Jesus is saying that if your desire is strong enough of an influence to move you to act and speak, to ask, seek, and knock, you will get what you are asking, seeking, and knocking for. And it all takes desire. And boldness and persistence, that common thread that ties them together, is desire. In fact, desire is so important that you can't even operate. The Holy Ghost will pass right over you as a Holy Spirit baptized Christian. Listen to me. If you don't desire to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14. Desire spiritual gifts, he says. The Holy Ghost is moved by your desire in your heart. Again, let me say it again. The Holy Ghost will pass right over you to someone else who has a desire to operate in the gifts and to see the power of God manifest. Come on, somebody. Well, I don't want to operate in the gifts. Well, guess what? That's exactly what you're going to get. Because there's no desire. Are you following me? So the Holy Spirit responds to faith, and faith is created from a desire in our heart, a hope, a desire in our heart. Desire, listen to this, desire activates your imagination. Come on, somebody. Desire activates your imagination. To see the desired result on the inside. And that is what drives you to overcome and to stand in faith when the waves are crashing all around you. Amen. You will receive, you will press through seemingly impossible situations and hardships and come out victoriously on the other side because of your red hot desire on the inside in your heart. Mike, say desire. Desire is so important. You need a desire. The key to effective boldness and persistence in your life is desire. A red-hot, burning desire in your heart for the kingdom of God, for revelation, for the power of the Holy Spirit, and to be a blessing to other people around you. It's a desire. The reason that many have failed to have boldness and persistence and to stop at the first sign of a problem, come on, is a lack of desire. I mean, even the world knows how to. Remember how I said last week that the world, someone outside of Christ, will have a level of success because they're putting biblical spiritual laws into motion? Now, they're trying to do it without Christ at the center, but there's a level of success. Hello, are you following me? If you look at all, even just look at the NFL, look at the NBA, look at the sports teams, look at people who became famous, all the hardships they came through, right? Living in the ghetto, growing up with absolutely nothing. It looked like they were going nowhere. But one thing kept them moving. What do you think it was? Desire for more. You will never have more in your life without a burning desire in your heart to have more, to be more, to be used by the Holy Ghost. Are you following me? My goodness. I'm on my last page here. Stick with me. The spiritual law of desire must be activated and stirred up in your heart on a daily basis. Stir it up. Stir desire up on the inside. A strong desire will, like I said, will carry you through situations. It'll carry you through circumstances that you thought were impossible to overcome and walk through. It says Jesus endured the cross because he kept his eyes on the finish line. Can you imagine that? That's our example right there. If Jesus can handle the pain of going to a bloody cross because of the goal that he had a desire for, how much are we able to do through Jesus? Desire is defined as a strong feeling of wanting to have something. It strives toward that goal. Desire is an intense focus. Listen, it's an intense focus on something that creates strong feelings or emotions in your soul. How do you know if you truly have desire that can move mountains? How do you know that? Because it'll impact your emotions positively. If your emotions aren't influenced and moved by the presence of God, if it's not moved by the Word of God, you need to up that desire a little bit more. You got to pump up the volume, dance. Are you following me? Amen. Come on, some of you who went through the 80s and 90s, you know that song, right? Pump up the volume. Okay, whatever. There we go. So it's an intense focus on something that creates a strong feeling and emotions in your soul. It moves you. Amen? It means that you have strong affection for something that you want or desire. The Holy Spirit spoke these words to me. Listen to this. If we got as passionate as the bitterness and unforgiveness that we hold toward people, toward doing the will of God, we would be unstoppable. I about fell over in my chair when the Holy Ghost gave me that. Let me say that one more time. If we got as passionate as the bitterness and unforgiveness that we hold toward people in doing the will of God and seeking Him, we would be unstoppable. Desire also means to have a passionate commitment to someone or to something. Did you know a soul tie is created by desire? Think about that. Just chew on that one. And that ties right into boldness and perseverance. That desire and passionate commitment to God moves you to be bold. It ties your soul to God's heart, and it keeps you moving forward through the hard times in life. Isn't that beautiful? The Holy Spirit spoke this to me as I'm closing here. The Holy Spirit spoke this to me. He said, if my people would burn with desire to seek me, to seek and fulfill my will, if they will burn with desire for more revelation and wisdom, they will receive and they will be unstoppable against the kingdom of darkness. Your godly desire, your boldness and persistence will make you unstoppable. We need to increase our desire for the things of God. We got to up our spiritual hunger. Say spiritual hunger. It will put Christians in the realm of all things are possible. So keep the flames of desire of faith burning hot in your spirit. Amen. Church, the only way that we will lose on this earth is if we give up, cower to circumstances, cower to distractions, cower to fear. If you will be bold and persistent in your faith walk, you will tap in breakthrough that will blow your mind and take you to new levels in God. Amen? Amen. So our job is this, as I send you out. Our job is to continue to desire, continue to obey, continue to be doers of the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will continue to help with His supernatural power in our life. We must possess, come on, boldness and persistence. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Prayer team, come on down. Glory to God. Now, maybe there's someone in this place, you've never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life. Today's the day to do it. Make that change today. Come on. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, when you take your last breath, that's it. Game over. It's done. It's done. Why would you want to risk it? Let go of the pride in your life and make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If that's you, you can come on down now or when the service is over to pray with one of our prayer team members. Now, if there's anybody here, you felt like You were right on the edge of breakthrough, but you gave up. And the Holy Spirit's revealing that to you today, that you were right there, but you gave in to the pressure. You gave in to the fear of man. If you want to put that under the blood and you want a new start, come down and pray with one of our prayer team members today before you leave. Amen? And let's get you back on that road of boldness and persistence and back on that breakthrough. I believe this is a chance where the Holy Spirit has given us all an opportunity. He's given us a retest. He's given us a redo. Amen? If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism and with speaking in other tongues, come on down. We want to pray with you for that. If you need prayer for anything else, come on down. We'll pray with you. But you guys, I'm telling you, it is an honor serving the Lord with you all. Amen? God is really building an awesome family here, so I love and appreciate you all. You guys have a wonderful week. If you need me, get one of my cards. Give me a call. You know where to find me, all right? All right, I love you all. Have a great week, and we'll see you Wednesday.